standing up.
That's recording.
Good and bad.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Video started, I think, recording.
Your call.
I'm showcasing the brand new Yorkville, City of Yorkville mask. You all have one hanging, and well, you all aldermen have one hanging. See, very nice. It's got the logo. But I'm not going to wear it for the meeting. I'm just showcasing this.
It's recording.
Okay, so I'm going to take this off, just so you can all see it. Very nice. They're in your mailboxes. Okay, thank you very much. Welcome to our June 9th, 2020 United City of Yorkville Council meeting. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Excellent, thank you all. And Chris, did you get a haircut, Mr. Funkhauser?
I did, yes.
Yes, I did too. I wanted to look like you, but I don't have the right shirt on today. So, we will start now with roll call, please. Where's the clerk? There you are, Lisa. I'm pointing to you on my screen.
Call.
Yeah.
Kenzie. Yeah. Olszewski. Here. Osha. And Galson. Funkhauser.
Here.
Reader.
Yes.
Chalupa.
Here. Yes.
We have a clock.
Thank you. And Mr. Plocher is trying to log in still, I believe. I think he was having some technical difficulties. And when we do the roll call votes, well, this is fine doing here, but remember, we try to do yes and no on actual votes. And I have to remember that as well. Although I don't have to vote too often, and hopefully not tonight either. Thank you. Okay, we do have a quorum. Are there any amendments to the agenda? I didn't think so. I've got several items in our mayor's report, both mayor's reports, but thank you. Okay, are there any presentations today? No one here to do presentations. Okay, we do have a public hearing. So I am opening the public hearing for the proposed downstate small business stabilization applications funded by Community Development Block Grant, CDBG funds. The total amount of CDBG funds to be requested is $50,000 and will address the urgent needs of the business due to the COVID-19 emergency on the following applications: The Idea Pros Inc., DBA Logo Factory, and Treasure Breads Inc. The public hearing is now open. I will ask if there's any members of the public who would like to speak here in the chambers. Okay, and then I will ask, before I get to Mr. Olson, are there any members of the public out in Zoom land who would like to speak? Hearing none, I'll turn it over to Bart. Bart has a short little discussion, maybe. Is that the best way to put it?
Presentation.
I don't know if he has a presentation or a discussion.
I've got a brief PowerPoint here.
Oh, you do? Okay, thank you. I'll get out of the way.
No script, and there's only two businesses, so it shouldn't take very long.
I'm out of the way.
Slow.
I don't see it here. You can see me.
Oh, there it goes.
Okay, and everybody can see the PowerPoint presentation.
You want to come up here, Keith? You want to come here and watch?
You sure?
Yeah.
Don't run.
Okay, great. Okay, so this is our third batch of downstate small business stabilization program grants. Again, it is a prime round of actual program. It is funds being made available from the state to the cities that we then give to businesses that are impacted by the COVID-19 virus. And the grant is for a maximum of $25,000 and 60 days of verifiable capital. In order to be eligible for this grant, you have been open since 2017. that have been canceled or delayed as a result of the pandemic, and so that's impacted revenues. So they're asking for funds to cover the cost of goods, technology enhancements for online business, advertising, payroll, rent, and utilities. Tribrex Incorporated is also requesting $25,000. They are a company that makes gourmet sweet breads out of Yorkville, and that company was started in 2007. So the funds, if received, will be used for payroll and operating expenses. And their channels of revenue since the pandemic have been completely closed, including farmers markets, youth groups, lobby sales, retail coffee chains. So if they receive the grant, the funds are going to be used to cover 3 employees and will allow the company to maintain inventory, as well as general overhead costs, including rent, marketing, and accounting fees. So that's it for the public hearing presentation. There was a public hearing notice published in the Beacon newspaper on June 2nd of 2020. All of the project information, including all the state-mandated application materials, have been available on the city's website since June 2nd, with a link on the screen. And so our next steps are passage of a city council resolution to support during this meeting, and then after that, there will be a participation agreement signed by the city and the applicant prior to actually submitting the grant. With that, I will turn it back over to the mayor.
Well, that was pretty slick how quickly you did that. Thank you. Okay. Are there any comments from the city council on the public hearing? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. Thank you very much. Next, we move on to citizen comments on agenda items. There are no citizens in the chambers here. There's the press, one member of the press. One member of the press is here who came for our photos today, but I'm the only one here and I'm wearing my nice Hawaiian shirt. Anyway, are there any citizen comments in Zoom land? I hear none. We will move on. There's no consent agenda. I forgot to add items to that. I don't think any of these items would have really qualified, would they have? Probably not. I've been slipping on that. Sorry, Miss Jackie. I've been slipping on that one. Has Poacher joined us yet?
Yeah. Oh,
there, Joe. Arden. Thanks. Welcome. Bienvenido. Okay, I can mark you as a yes now. Okay, we have minutes of the regular city council meeting of May 26, 2020. Is there a motion to approve?
No.
Peterson? Is there a second? Second by Milshewski? Any comments, corrections? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by yes.
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 Very nice. All opposed, signify by saying no. Hearing none, motion passed. I have to make some notes here. Bear with me, please. Okay, next. This is the end of page one. If the second page goes this quickly, this would be a great meeting. I guess they're all great meetings, actually. Okay, we have bills. Now we have bills totaling $87,420.63 for FY20 vendors, $147,745.37 for FY21 vendors, payroll ending 529 of $293,829.72 for a total of $528,995.72. Is there a motion to pay these? I think I heard Mr. Frieders. Did I hear Mr. Frieders? Yeah. Okay, and who was second?
Second.
Okay, it was Jackie. Thank you. Okay, any questions? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
Paul?
Yes.
Milshewski? Yes. Buckhauser?
Yes.
Chalula?
Yeah.
Gantia?
Yes.
Pocha?
Yes.
Freer?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much. next, we have several items on the mayor's report, and we have several items not on the mayor's report. I'm going to do a couple things on the mayor's report. First, I'm going to acknowledge that Lynn has been married. Lynn, congratulations. And Lynn, it was
he's in the garage right now, so.
You're living in the garage?
No, he's in the garage. I'm taking her dryer, sorry.
Wow, 2 days and he's already in the doghouse. Or 3 days, sorry. And Lynn, I was admiring the weather for the wedding. It was wonderful. I went to a local establishment and I had a sangria in celebration of your wedding.
Thank you.
Yes, it was a couple hours earlier than the wedding, but nonetheless, congrats. And the next item is Mr. Frieders has contacted me, and he has, as you all know, Mr. Frieders, you are very passionate about many things. And he had something he's very passionate about, and he asked if he could read this under the mayor's report. And I said, please go ahead. So, Mr. Frieders, I'm going to turn this over to you, and this is just his statement. This is not a discussion item, but he really felt passionate. So I said, go right ahead, please. Thank you, Joel. I appreciate your passion. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll go on to the business items listed under the mayor's report. And we are back to the Downstate Small Business Stabilization Program grant. So, do we have to do the ordinance first, the amendment to allow us to, with the Funkhauser rule? Do we have to do that first?
Yes.
It should be on the motion sheet.
Oh, should we have the motion sheet?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have the motion sheet.
Here it is.
I lied. Lisa, I have it. Don't be upset, Lisa. I'm sorry. Okay. Let me find it here, though.
Here it is. Pursuant to ordinance, a motion to waive. First page.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Right in front of me. I just had the wrong sheet again. Okay. I'm looking for a motion, and maybe somebody already started this. Pursuant to ordinance 2013-31 to waive the procedural rule not to vote on items at the same meeting at which the public hearing on the matter has taken place. Is that Mr. Funkhauser?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
I think I heard Frieders second. So, did I hear you, Mr. Frieders? No, I didn't. Okay, then I heard Ms. Milshewski. I heard somebody, and I really thought it was from the left side of my screen. And I know you don't see the same screen I do, but he's on the left side. Okay, well, then we'll go with Milshewski. Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Okay. And I don't think this one is for discussion. I think it's just an up and down vote. So I take a roll call on this, please.
Milshewski? Yes. Funkhauser?
Yes.
Karula?
Yes. Yes.
Fletcher?
Yeah.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Cope?
Yeah.
Motion carries.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I'm looking for a motion to approve resolutions of support for Community Development Block Grant Program grants for the following. Resolution 2020-52 for Idea Pros Inc., DBA Logo Factory, for $25,000. Resolution 2020-53 for Treasure Breads, Inc. for $25,000. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. I caught Mr. Frieders and Mr. Koch both again on the left. Seaver, you're on the left too, but I can't see you, but you are third. Okay. So, I know this, we can have a discussion, so I will open up to any discussion. Mr. Frieders.
I will reiterate what I said the last time we talked about this, that I don't feel we should be voting on specifically the criteria that the state has laid out. If they fit the criteria laid out by the state, they should be approved automatically. So either way, I'm more than happy to support both local businesses. I have not personally eaten any Treasure Breads, but I am a fan of bread. I love bread, so I will make sure that I do that in the coming months. But I have spent quite a number of dollars with local factory. I appreciate both of these businesses, so let's do it.
Yes.
I've been here 20 years now, and I did not even know about Treasure Bread, so I am definitely going to check that out going forward.
Excellent.
Very good.
Other comments from the council? So I will say one thing. Well, maybe it's a couple things. Number one, by us approving these, this does not mean that the applicants will receive the grants, but this is the process the state has set up. And I will also reiterate what I've stated the last two times, just to be clear to the city council, there is a risk, though it's very small, in my opinion, small, that if all the applicants were granted money, and we've had, what, about 25 so far? Bart, roughly?
Yes.
If all the applicants were granted money and all the applicants didn't follow the rules and had to pay it back or I guess skip town or whatever they did, if every single one of those things happened, there is a possibility the city could be on the hook for this. I don't anticipate that. Unfortunately, I don't know that all of them will even get the grants, but I just want to say there's a slight risk. So having said that, if there's no other discussion, do a roll call, please.
Yes.
Chirula?
Yes.
Chantier?
Yes.
Ocha?
Yes.
Frieders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Nosuski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Ken, you're quite giggly tonight. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
You didn't get your bike riding because it's raining. You're probably weighing on you. Okay. Next. Oh, this is a fun one. Under Mayor's Report, item number two, we have 2020-49, an ordinance amending Title 4 of the Yorkville City Code, adding Chapter 5, Civil Emergencies. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second
by Closure. Okay, so I appreciate we have the motion and the second. I am going to turn this over to our attorney, Kathy, because she can explain this way better than I can. And I anticipate there will be questions. I take no offense to those questions. I want you all to understand this and be comfortable with this before we vote on it. So please, Kathy.
This ordinance was an ordinance that was brought to my attention over the activities in all over the country in the last 2 weeks. There are two ways we have emergency powers vested in our mayor. One is under the Illinois Emergency Management Act, and we have each one of our municipalities have an emergency plan. Under that, the mayor would have the right to act for no more than 7 days. In reviewing that plan, it's an excellent plan, it's 204 pages. And in reviewing that plan, it really is focused more on bringing various groups within our city together, police department, public works, the legal end, to discuss what should be done. It contemplates that there would be some meetings of the mind in terms of the actions of the mayor. The second area, the form of emergency powers put in the mayor, is pursuant to the Illinois Municipal Code 11-1-6, and that takes an ordinance by the city council to give the mayor the authority. So what many municipalities did in the early days, and it really started when there were race riots in the 60s, is instead of coming together to adopt an ordinance to give the mayor emergency powers, they put that ordinance directly in their code book. It was brought to my attention when we were attempting to make sure we had the tools in order when we were concerned with the status of Yorkville, that there were towns that had this ordinance right in their code book, and the mayors were able to act immediately, closing of certain stores, more importantly, closing of certain commercial thoroughfares, which then eliminated the right for unwanted, not protesters, but looters to come into town. It was very interesting, the town immediately next to me. So because of that, I felt it incumbent upon me bringing this to the attention of the city council, that if we had this in our ordinance and we had some emergency, that the mayor would be able to act to call curfew, close businesses. Well, everyone says, why couldn't we just come together to pass an ordinance to do that? And the problem with that is, for example, is it's not, this is the first time since there's been an Open Meetings Act that it's been suspended to allow us to come together in a convenient way. And I don't envision that, and it wasn't so the case in the race riots. So it is an ordinance I bring to you because I think I can't imagine it being abused because of the impact it would have on businesses and the use of the streets with our businessmen as well as, and more importantly, our residents. So that I do believe possibly having this in our code book, we would be better prepared for the mayor to act at a moment's notice. Again, whatever actions he would take under this would only be good for 2 weeks. Or until the next city council meeting, so that three aldermen, as you know by statute, could call a city council meeting immediately if anyone ever believed these or that the powers vested here were abused or not properly used.
Okay, oh, we got a better view of the two of us, very nice. So I will take any questions, and you're shifting around, all you people are, holy cow. So. Ken's still up there, Joel's down here. Who has questions? I know there's gonna be questions on this, so I would entertain any questions. Mr. Koch.
Yeah, I kind of always thought that the mayor had the day-to-day operation of the city as part of that job. So I would hope that if there was an emergency thing like this, he would act, but then
any three aldermen could. The fact of the matter is that this ordinance allows, it's in place, so if an emergency happens, you don't have to call a meeting of the city council before you would consider implementing any of its provisions.
Does that answer your question, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions?
Can I follow up on that one?
I'm sorry?
Can I follow up on that question?
Who was that?
Chris.
Yeah, where the heck are you? Oh, there you are. You moved too. Please.
So when we initially authorized the emergencies, the proclamation for the mayor, that allowed him several conditions that he could implement at any time for the 2-week time frame. If we pass the ordinance as drafted, council would not
Only those two items, yes.
Only the two items that are stipulated in this order. So we're talking about the curfew and the closing of businesses.
Yes.
Okay.
And streets are implicated when you close the business, yes.
Now, when we talk about streets, you had mentioned thoroughfares, but we cannot close state routes, correct?
No, you would, because they are under your jurisdiction in terms of emergency. I mean, I say that only because I've seen it done in several instances in the past 2 weeks. Yes, the thing that brought this ordinance to my immediate attention was the village of Homewood. They are right off 8094 Halsted, which is Route 1. Halsted is their major thoroughfare, and because they had this ordinance on the books, the mayor immediately closed the businesses, for which they were very grateful. What was interesting is the businesses immediately to the north of this were damaged. And so they were very grateful. So that was my experience. I've also had experience where Western Avenue was closed and a portion of Route 30 was closed in the lesser populated areas.
Is there any issue with us keeping the 7-day term that's stipulated in the code as compared to just allowing this to go for the, you know, potentially up to 2 weeks?
The seven-day authorization is to authorizing the mayor to implement the provisions of the Yorkville Emergency Management Plan. And when you read the plan, as I said, it's 205 pages. He would have that authority for 7 days, but it's not clear cut. If you'd like, I can read it, the relevant provisions. For example, number 7 at the top, contact the city council to request their assistance. Utilize them to assist with various activities taking place. If a disaster is anticipated for long term, initiate an emergency meeting of the city council. The emergency management plan is essential and important, but it's geared toward physical natural disasters. Number 12, be prepared to institute any additional emergency restrictions, such as implementing curfew, prohibiting the sale of certain commodities. Also be prepared to make emergency temporary appointments of vacant department heads. So you can see that the emergency plan is good, essential. It would give the mayor to implement any one of these in 7 days, but it primarily concerns, in my opinion, bringing various departments, groups, elected officials together to determine what, on an emergency basis, should be pursued. By having this ordinance, that doesn't deny or alter that ability also.
So by this ordinance, if we have two unruly rioting people, the mayor can implement a civil emergency, correct?
I think that would be difficult. If you had two, that's not really a civil emergency. I think it's a police matter. Two or more, yes. Well, you could have two, not just really, you could have two bombers, you know, if you were having bomb threats, yes, that would work. That's off the top of my head.
Right. I think what I'm getting at there is that would be a combination of two things. You know, you just mentioned two bombers. If you had two people, that would fall under man-made calamities. Okay, so that's number two. Definition part, but the fact that it's limited or it's defined as two or more, I'm not sure I agree with that. It seems a little lenient in terms of the ability to declare emergencies based on something like that.
Other aldermen have any questions or comments? Dan, I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you.
The mayor has to declare it as a civil emergency. The checks and balances, in all honesty, I think is the society, the city council. The checks and balances are the businesses, because enacting any one of these is an extreme measure.
Dan, did you have further questions? Okay. Mr. Frieders?
Yeah, it's almost like by trying to give examples of civil emergency, it's almost become clear that you can't necessarily define a specific
right.
instance where you're using the definition of civil emergency. I understand the reason why you have a definition that it's trying to be specific, but like the legal definition, it just says unforeseen combination of circumstances. Within geographic limits of a given jurisdiction that calls for immediate action. It's like, either way, it's at your discretion. So I guess my only concern is if, I'm not saying you, Mr. Mayor, you're I'm saying if we had a mayor that was a little bit more power hungry, and then thought that something was, oh, there's two people on, you know, they're probably from the south side of Yorkville. You got two people from the south side of Yorkville causing disturbance, you're going to declare a civil emergency.
Good job. I think you could do it once. I think anybody could do it once, but I can't see it do it happening more than once without a city council immediately coming together to thwart any potential for abuse.
Do you think the
I'm sorry, what was your question? Okay, he must have been joking about something. I can't hear you, Joel. I cannot hear you, Joel. Okay, went over my head. Yes, thank you. Okay, before we get back to Dan, anyone else? Dan, please.
I am not married to this ordinance. I just saw it implemented very, very successfully in several towns that I happen to work for and felt it incumbent upon presented to you. But the reality is that if you're going to have a mayor that would abuse it, he could stretch and interpret the Illinois Management, the Yorkville Management Agency Act to determine and go off on his own too and rationalize the power given in that, and which really contemplates that those kinds of actions be done more in a group. But I can't disagree with you. Anything can be abused all the time.
I saw Mr. Koch, and I'll go back to Mr. Frieders.
Yeah, I think that's my reason. I want the mayor to act immediately on this. I just thought that 40 hours seems like enough time that the mayor should be able to have some communication with the council on why you did it and what you plan on moving forward. That was all my point to begin with.
Mr. Frieders.
I
I think the thing that I'm kind of needing clarification is there a documentable, if there is a mechanism for the city council to immediately either respond to it or repeal such an activity?
Always.
Outside of that 48 hours. Because let's say we got a wackadoo as mayor, the exact opposite of what's happening right now. If we had a wackadoo as mayor, we call a civil emergency for something that 8 of us or even 5 of us thought was a little out of line. Is there a mechanism outlined in this type of agreement or ordinance that would give the city council a plan to be able to repeal such a declaration by the mayor?
This ordinance is only valid until the next city council meeting. So that if a special meeting would be called, it could be, the powers could be immediately terminated.
Other questions or comments?
To clarify, Kathy?
Yeah.
So you're saying that we're going to go with allowing this to go up to 2 weeks, which would be potentially to the next city council meeting, even though the ILCS statute says it's 7 days?
No, the ILCS statute says the 7 days is the implementation of the Illinois Emergency Management Act, right? Or am I confusing it again, Bart? Yes, that's 7 days. Right, the EMA is 7 days.
But with the actual implementation, we're saying it's 14, or the order could be for 14 days up to.
Not under the Emergency Management Act, no, it's 7 days.
Okay. But so also with the ILCS, it does have a statute that allows for an emergency meeting to be called in less than a 48-hour notice, correct?
Oh, yes. The only issue here, which was my experience, is, yeah, you can do it in less than 48 hours. Can you, in a real civil emergency, get the city a quorum together if there really is rioting in the streets? That's the question. Because we won't always be in a situation where the Open Meetings Act is suspended. Right, a quorum together in one room, that was the concern. That's what why these ordinances were put into place. I have to tell you, Oswego responded and has adopted an ordinance that's far more extensive than this one as a part of their code book so that their mayor could act. They included the powers that we had included, the long list of powers that we had included when we did adopt an emergency act authorizing the mayor. Other towns that I work for, having brought it to their attention, they have adopted in this form, which is, in my mind, if you're going to do it at all, the only the two actual emergency actions that may be needed.
Dan?
Can the mayor withdraw this declaration of emergency prior to the council convening if, for some reason, rioters leave town or in case of a natural disaster, things are cleaned up? So, suspension of what maybe civil liberties don't have to continue for 7 to 14 days?
I didn't
know. Can the mayor rescind these at any time.
Oh, yeah. You only do it for as long as you need it. And in the case, for example, in Homewood, it was actually with the agreement of the businesses, it was 48 hours. The whole thing was suspended long before the next village board meeting. In that case, they're a village.
Other questions or comments? So I will ask the question, do you want to vote on this or not? Anyone want to offer? If you're not wanting to pass this, that's fine. If you're wanting to pass it, that's fine. So I just want to make sure there's a comfort level. Anyone want to offer anything?
Can we table it till the next pandemic?
Yes.
Motion to table till the next pandemic.
Is that a loud motion?
Yes.
Okay.
It means a motion to table forever.
Indefinitely, okay. There's a motion to table, essentially indefinitely. Is there a second? I did not hear a second to table. So the motion remains on the table. Or on the, the motion remains, the original motion. Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser, please. Okay, there's a motion to table it for 2 weeks. So that would be the next city council meeting, correct?
Yes, please.
Okay, is there a second to Mr. Transier? Okay, so we have a motion and a second to table until the next city council meeting. We'll do a roll call, please. Thank you very much. Motion is tabled. Oh God, I gotta make sure I'm making my notes on the right one here.
Interesting, very interesting.
Okay, next item, CC 2020-50, ordinance authorizing the city, and it should say mayor, should say the mayor, because that's the way the ordinance is written, to enter into agreements to regulate pedestrian and vehicular traffic on commercial properties. Is there a motion to approve?
No.
By Terulis. Thank you, Siever. Is there a second? Was there a second or not?
Second.
Okay, by Mr. Peterson. Okay. So, I'm going to actually let, who do I want to let discuss this one? Kathy. This one I think is a good one.
This one's good. This one's good. The other one's good. And I appreciate your discussion on the other one. It's more discussion than I had in the other communities. Anyway, Illinois Municipal Code, the municipality is allowed to enter into agreements with private property owners, commercial, industrial, shopping centers, even hospitals, condominiums, associations, to be able to enforce the parking. And it's often used, and in our case, if we should be able to use it, for example, for disabled parking, and the like, and we discovered that we didn't have one, even though the law permits it. And then we discovered that apparently I drafted one 11 years ago that we never implemented. But basically what it does is it allows our police department, and again, that was brought to our attention when we thought we had people parking in commercial spaces that to the detriment of the business, and we realized we didn't have agreements in play. I must state, however, there is in the ordinance itself and in the agreement, it refers to speed limits. And that must be deleted because we are not allowed to deal with speed limit speeding on private property because it's a moving violation. So that I would ask that that amendment be made, and it would be specifically section 5-7-1, the fourth line from the bottom. You will see it says speed limits. And that regulation of parking be, the word speed limits be removed, as well as from paragraph 2 of the agreement. The balance of the items, however, can be enforced by our police department, but only if the commercial property owner allows the department to do it. Furthermore, we would get issue a citation. The benefit of the citation, any cost imposed upon the violator would run to the city. However, the agreement provides that if we are required to tow, towing would be at the expense of the property owner, and they would be notified that if we have to tow vehicles away, which usually it's at their request, they do have to pay for that.
So, Seaver and Jason, are you okay if your motion includes the minor changes Kathy suggested in the language?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you both. Okay.
Question.
Go ahead, Mr. Peterson.
No, Joel does.
Oh, Joel, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Frieders.
Your audio is kind of clipping in and out, so I only have one question about this particular type of ordinance. I did hear an explanation that there was a determination of someone who is parking in somebody's lots to the detriment of the business. Do we have an example or two that you can share with me? Because if we're going to have police officers patrolling other people's parking lots, it seems like a not really lit job. If there's a complaint from the business owner or somebody says, hey, you can't park there.
That's a fair question. An example that was given to me, and some of this ties quite honestly to the incidents and events of the last week, but an example that was given to me in one of the municipalities, excuse me, I don't know if it was Naperville or I guess it doesn't really matter where it was, but when there were people coming in to riot, they were parking in, and I'll make it up, the local grocery store parking lot, and that city had the ability to tow those vehicles, and once those people got out of their cars and they saw the tow trucks coming, they got in the cars and they got the hell out of the town, because they saw those people were from out of state, out of town. And so that was an example that was given to me. I honestly, I'm not looking to have us go around, to your point, I don't want to babysit people either. But there might be an instance where somebody needs to get towed. So.
Yeah, part of me says, yeah, I get it. But I think this is something that if you want to loop this type of power in with your emergency order, maybe that would make more sense. But it seems like we're adding rules just because other people did. And I'm not saying that the reason why this was exercised wasn't important. It wasn't crucial in protecting personal property. But I think what we're doing here is another one of those examples of, well, other people are doing it. We should probably do it. I think this is kind of an example of making a rule that would give the police department more power based on something that is a complaint that should be issued by the business owner. So if a business owner in Yorkville calls YPD and says, hey,
you can't do it. Without an agreement, you can't do it.
I don't know if you heard Kathy's response, but without an agreement, we can't do it.
If somebody's trespassing on your property, you can't ask them to leave?
That is a criminal matter. That is different from what we're talking about here. We're just talking about using a parking lot when you're really not a customer authorized. This is very, very commonplace in across the city where parking are really, really an issue. It's also in many, many suburban communities. The chief had, you had actually requested me to look into it.
Correct.
You've got to talk.
Do you have a mic? Yeah, does that mic work? Is that mic on, do you know? No? Are any of these mics? Here, come over here, Jim. I'm going to slide aside so Jim can come in.
Okay, the ordinance specifically to the parking violations, we are allowed to enforce stopping, standing, parking on private property. So when you, is the example that it's probably the best example when you
only
go in front of
agreement.
The Jewel, you somebody parks in a fire lane, this will give us the authority to write a fire lane violation specific to vehicles parking in front, which could be a public safety issue because if there's a fire, the fire department can't get in there. In reference to towing, for the owner of the business to have the authority to remove vehicles from their parking lot, they have that authority. We do not. So businesses should be posting signs before they can actually tow vehicles. They have to have it posted that if you're not here for business or whatever reason, then the towing company or the business can contact the tow company and will in turn tow the vehicles. We are not getting involved in that at all. That's a business decision. That's a business action, not law enforcement. Does that make sense?
Yes, it might make sense, but it still doesn't sound like something I would ever want to agree with. Because I mean, sure. Maybe it's because I grew up a little bit further east in here, is that when you shoot a park there, you're not a customer, and there's not, I don't have a permit to park someplace. Mm-hmm. If I park there, I should have the ability as a visitor to say, hey, you can't park there. Get out of here. And if they don't leave, that's when I call the police. So it seems like there's already a mechanism.
No.
Help with that. We're just talking about people that are pulling up on the fire lane in front of Jewel. If they have signs posted that people aren't following the rules, isn't that then enforceable?
No.
No. So if you can contact the police with your business, Joel, and say, okay, I want you guys to remove this. I want you guys to remove the car. We cannot be involved in removing that vehicle. The business can do it on their own. The business is going to be responsible for paying that tow bill. However, when the person goes and picks up their car, that person eventually is going to have to pay the tow bill themselves. So the business has the contract with the tow company. We are not, as law enforcement, we will not get involved in civil issues like that. We have no enforcement ability.
Right. I guess one more add-on question. How many workable businesses have asked for this?
I think
Mr. Koch, I see your hand.
Yeah, I think, first of all,
not any more liability by doing this between being involved in the parking and that extra liability on our part, city? And second, I was thinking of the Shell bike on the 71 and 47 there. A lot of trucks park there. I would hope that it's kind of diesel thing right now, there's no issue. Are we going to stir that pot?
So to answer your second question or point, I think it's a fair point. To answer your first question, I don't know the answer. I don't know if Bart or Kathy, do you know the answer to, does this increase our potential liability?
No, it's Jordan.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Transier?
Monkhauser.
Oh, I saw Mr. Transier's hand.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Transier, please go first.
Okay. First and foremost, I think we need to be very clear that moving of vehicles encompasses a large amount of language. Stop signs, yield signs, if they're on that kind of property, they might not be enforceable, because they are not on public highways. I know my concerns about speeding have been alleviated because that's been removed from the language of the ordinance. But if someone gets a ticket for disobeying a traffic control device in a targeted parking lot, it might cause more problems than it's going to stop. So I don't know if I'm very clear on what the definition of movement of vehicles is going to encompass. Secondly, I have concerns about police being involved with towing vehicles on private property. I know that the city of Yorkville has a towing policy. They have policies about doing administrative fees. Are administrative fees going to be eventually tacked on while our officers are sitting in a parking lot waiting for a tow truck for 45 minutes to show up? Secondly, I guess thirdly now, are the police going to do inventories? If they are involved in the removing of private property from private property, I can see this being a problem where the owner of the vehicle somehow says that $5,000 might be missing from their car. So if there isn't going to be some type of inventory associated with this, if the police are going to be involved in booking someone's car, it could be problematic down there. So, I mean, I've got a lot of concerns about this. And I know Chief Jensen could probably answer the questions about whether or not they're going to enact some type of alternate tow policy fee that would apply specifically to these situations, but without that, I think it's going to be problematic.
Thank you. I thought he answered the question previously that the city, the police department, will not be involved with the towing of any vehicles. That would be up to the property owner. Is that correct? He's nodding his head and saying, yes, that is correct. The city will not be involved in the towing. That is strictly up to the property owners.
So just to be clear, the property owner calls the police and says, I've got a car here that's parked in violation of my signage. The police department is not going to call the tow. They're not going to be responsible for inventorying any of this.
Mr. Jensen is nodding his head and saying, correct. The police will not be involved with that at all.
The YPD is just the muscle, the show of force. I'm trying to understand what he means of an act like this.
Did you hear that?
Half of it.
We'll get Mr. Jensen here again. Let me back up just a second, though, if I could, Mr. Frieders. Mr. Funkhauser, you had your hand up earlier, and I know I don't think you weighed in on this one yet.
I think both of you, Transier, kind of hit this on the head with several of the points you made. But going through the ordinance to the staff memo, there's a conflict here that does stipulate the police would authorize the tow and then send the private property or send the bill to private property. So the memo contemplates police department actually authorizing the tow.
Bart?
I want to be very, very clear on what we're actually authorizing with this, because this gives the mayor the intersections because they don't meet requirements. A lot of these private property ones, they just throw them up to try to manage internal controls. There's no real standard that says where they are and are not warranted.
We're done.
This in place. I want to be careful on this one. I know that this did not go forward 11 years ago, so I do have some reservations on it.
So I censor a lot of questions, and I don't have any quarrels or qualms with any of the questions. I have some of those myself, just trying to understand your concerns. I would love to get a motion to table this for 2 weeks. You can all email your questions, get responses. We can discuss again in 2 weeks. And if you don't want to vote on it, that's fine. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I want to make sure you all are comfortable with this. So if I could get that motion.
Can I make a motion and take it back to public safety committee to discuss it before it comes back to city council?
Okay. There was a motion by Mr. Frieders and I think a second by Mr. Koch to send it to public safety. Is that correct? And I think the next meeting is what, July?
July 2nd.
So, Seaver, are you okay with that?
July 2nd sounds good to me.
Perfect. Okay, so we have a motion for Mr. Frieders. Let me just make my notes here. Okay, and the second by Koch to go to public safety July 2nd. I think that's a wonderful idea. Okay, so. I repeated the motion. There's no discussion on the motion. We will have a roll call, please.
Transmere?
Yes.
Usher?
No.
Breeders?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Koszewski? Yes. Appelhauser?
Excellent. Thank you very much. Had two excellent discussions, both ending in tabling. That's awesome. Okay. Next, we are at a Public Works Committee report. We have the Public Works 2020-34 Rebuild Illinois Grants Program potential applications. Bart, I know you left the room to talk about the other, but you can keep talking about this now, please. And I think Brad may weigh on this as well. But go ahead, Bart.
Sure. We went through the preliminary staff analysis of the scores for the three categories of grants and four projects that we talked about at the May Public Works Committee meetings. In general, we had a category for public infrastructure that was either a water tower repainting project or water main relocation. Both of those projects we think were going to score in the mid-40s, with the cutoff being anticipated to be 80 out of 100. But the other two categories for the Elway Road infrastructure extension project, the East Valley water main relocation near the East Valley businesses, the Farm Bureau building, the FS property, are scoring in the mid to high 50s, maybe 60. We've heard from the state that the criteria cutoff may drop down below the 80 threshold depending on the applications that are received. So the cost for applying is $5,000 to $10,000 engineering staff time for each grant application for potential benefit of $2 million for the East Valley Water Main project and potentially $5 million for the Elmay Road infrastructure extension project, neither of which require a local match, although that is one component of the scoring system. So before we decline with any of them, I wanted to at least throw it up for discussion as to whether anybody wanted to take the shot at potentially a multi-million-dollar grant, knowing that it would be a long shot for $5,000 to $10,000 per grant application.
Mr. Transier, please.
We are preparing documents for some others.
other questions or comments? Mr. Frieders, I like your shirt. Do you like mine, Mr. Frieders?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Real quick, like, I understand that, you know, we've got a couple that would probably score rather low, and a couple that might score a little bit higher than Romo. between Brad and Eric, if you were going to roll the dice and not maybe spend $5,000 to $20,000 on potentially getting, you know, a couple hundred with those particular projects, just aging the communities that are involved, do you feel it's a wise move to roll the dice on a couple of these and see if we do qualify?
And from my perspective, the two that we're going to look at, the Elkhead Corridor and the East Valley, to me, both of those are great projects for now, both for the future. So potentially, with the future in mind, even if we don't go well enough, there may be other opportunities, or we get a better idea of an overall project, or maybe adding or subtracting with certain factors could help us.
Yeah, you know, certainly some of the work would, you know, be something we could use in the future. For example, we could certainly spend some time preparing exhibits and highlighting some of the process and some updating them. You know, it is a roll of the dice, there's no doubt. You know, there's not, you know, there's quite a few $1 million available, but it's statewide, right? So there's going to be a lot of competition for these grant applications. So it's probably a pretty slim chance that we're going to be successful, honestly. But you know, you don't get anything, you don't go after either.
Are you saying that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Mr. Sanderson?
That's right.
But using that, granted, I don't want to be wasting money, but we need it. If we're going to be continuing to forward in the future, I almost think that $5,000 to $10,000 investment in one of these projects that we know is going to cost way more than $100,000 in the future. But I think my main question right here is, will that $5,000 to $10,000 that we would be using to potentially put for that project, would that money give us information that would allow us to make a better decision?
Right.
Or do something else with it besides just submitting it? Is that just the cost of the stamp, or is there not kind of more meat and potatoes to what you would prepare for that application?
I would say the meat and potatoes would be exhibits outlining the utilities and then also the cost estimates. The rest of it is just application work, paperwork to fill out the grant. It's a very intensive process. There's a lot of documentation that's required. So it's very much administrative heavy.
Okay. And then on that same token, I'm sorry, this is my last question. Would it make more sense to focus on the East Alley, seeing as how that's something that's kind of in the core of our community, it's highly visible, and we know that there's some super outdated infrastructure over there, and there's also a hell of a lot of remediation that's required to get that parking lot? Would it make more sense, in your opinion, your professional opinion, with your time, would it make more sense to invest in improving something that's in the center of our town, or kind of punting this to see if something in the future could happen with the health community?
I think the one advantage of the East Daly project is there's actually a developer. So tying a site plan into the project, you know, with a landowner that's interested in pursuing a project, I think that gives a, I would think it would give an advantage to that project.
Thank you. Great. Thanks, sir.
I think I saw Mr. Funkhauser, but I'm not sure. If I didn't, I'm sure I will. So go ahead, please.
Better opportunities to get industrial users out there. So we can see the return
Other questions or comments? Mr. Koch, I see your finger.
Just one quick one. This score, could it be raised somehow? I mean, how do things come at 60%? I mean, if you got it at 70, 75, it might have a better chance.
Sure, okay. But well, there are several categories, and then underneath these categories, there are several subcategories. So that's very specific on scoring. So certainly,
there's a tornado warning at my house. I can't go home. My daughter's in the basement.
So some of this relates to project readiness and having plans designed and having all land acquisition complete, having all permits. Those are some things that we're just not going to be able to accomplish because that would require real heavy investment and time. Certainly if we might bump a couple points up here or there, but it's going to be difficult at times.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments from the council before I have a couple? Mr. Plocher, you're like in the dark down there. Is it like sunset wherever you are and your couch or something?
Yeah, I don't have very good night
light. Oh, that's okay. Your shades really reflect well.
Yeah, they do. I really could be giving weight things, but like regions or like just state my blanket.
As far as we know, it's statewide.
Other questions or comments? So Brad, again, what are you thinking? How much per application if we're looking at the east side and the El Domain project?
Yeah, we threw out, if we're asked to do the brunt of the work, it'd be between $5,000 and $10,000. If the city staff is available to assist, that number will come down. Certainly the $10,000 per application, I think that's a high estimate. And certainly should be overcome that much less than that.
And that's per project, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so 10 to 20, and if staff can assist, definitely less than 20 is what I'm hearing. Okay. Okay, other questions or comments? So, I don't think we have a motion on this, do we? Lisa, is there a motion out there or not?
We don't. We were just asking for feedback on whether to proceed with either grant.
Okay. Well, do we want a motion? Do you want to make a motion? Does anyone want to make a motion? No? Like, I love that face, Frieders. Okay. Well, so should we go ahead? Or not. I guess that's the feedback we're looking for. If you don't want to make a motion, that's fine.
I would make a motion to roll with the El Domain and East Alley.
That's awesome. I'm looking for that direction. I think staff is too. Okay. El Domain and East Alley is the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
By Funkhouse. Listen, Frieders and Funkhouse are on the same page. I love it. All night tonight you have been. Okay, any discussion on the motion? So the motion is to go with the East Alley and El Domain. Any other comments, questions? We'll do a roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye, I mean yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Koch?
Yes.
Wilczynski? Yes. Funkhauser?
Yes.
Cerulis?
Yes.
Transier?
Yes.
Plocher?
Yeah.
Motion carries.
Excellent, thank you. Another 8-0. You are all just unanimous tonight. So, I did want to say this. We did save $150,000 in our building assessment in the last fiscal year, so, boy, we got money just everywhere to go. So, okay. Wow, that was a heck of a report. Let's see, where am I at? I got so many scribbles all over here. Okay, now we're to EDC. Is there an EDC report?
No report.
Thank you. Public safety is July 2nd, correct?
Correct.
And Seaver, you got a hell of an agenda already. You didn't even know that. Admin committee report, is there anything?
No report.
Park board. I know Tim has some exciting news, don't you, Tim? Hey, you changed shirts, too.
Yes, I did. So, now we're just excited now that we have our first drive-in movie of the year. It will be held at the local Yorkville Movie Theater this Friday. Unfortunately, if you didn't register ahead of time, it is full. But if you did miss this one, the next one we do have is Thursday, June 25th at Regent Waves Park. So we're very excited about it to get back to some in-person programming. We also, starting next week, youth sports, the baseball, softball, and soccer leagues will restart. And we're excited to get those going. And just we're happy that we're finally able to get some movement and start doing some in-person programming.
Excellent. Thank you. I think it's real exciting. It's been a long couple of months. I know parents and kids are excited to get out, and the weather's been, well, now it's kind of nasty, but this last weekend was wonderful. Okay, do we have anything from the Planning and Zoning Commission? Christy, anything I need to be aware of, wherever you are? There you are, right in front, center. Anything, Christy? I guess that's a no. Okay, thank you. Awesome. City Council report. City Council have anything else? Mr. Frieders.
It was coming, but I'll be quick. My work with Hope today continues. We are scheduled for July 17th from 7 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. In conjunction with the Westmont Public Library and the Village of Westmont's Hope Collective. I kind of forget the project. My email's not acting well because the wind is blowing my house sideways. But July 17th from 7 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. Hope of the Day will be conducting a virtual meeting discussion regarding mental health and proactive suicide prevention. For more information, please email me, joel@hft.org.
Thank you, Mr. Frieders. And Mr. Frieders, I do appreciate your passion, and I do appreciate today. You've had two issues you're very passionate about, and you were concise in both of those. That's outstanding, Joel. Very nice.
If I may add.
Mr. Transier.
I'd like to add something as the liaison of the Yorkville Public Library, if I may.
Oh, God, please. I'm waiting to hear something.
Yeah, it's not often we get very good news about the financial situation of the library, but the library was awarded a $21,000 grant from the state of Illinois, so that we have some money that we can spend to improve services and books, to repair some of the mechanicals. So they were very pleased, the library.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's outstanding. And if you don't remember, or if you weren't able to attend via Zoom last night, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but did they elect the officers last night?
They did not. They nominated candidates for the officer positions. So the next meeting in July, they will have a vote on the officer positions.
Okay. I did not know how that worked. So... thank you. Okay, any other members of the council? Now to our city clerk. She disappeared off my screen. Lisa, do you have anything?
She's entering back into the room now, so let's be a second.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. Well then we'll go to...
Everybody's losing connection due to the wind, so I can leave.
Oh, great. Well then, you know what, I'll ask if there's other community or liaison reports. None. Lisa doesn't have a report, so if she does, she can speak up. Oh, there, Lisa, do you have any reports?
I'm back, yeah, no report.
Awesome, thank you. Oh my God, and who had something for me to sign today that I forgot? Was that Aaron? Aaron, I gotta make a note. I have to sign something for you. Bart, you're in the other room, that's right. Bart, don't let me leave without signing that, please. There, I delegated that. Okay, staff report? Is there any staff report?
No reports.
Excellent. Mayor's report, my God, more stuff. Who would have thought this would have been one of our longest meetings? Poor Kathy here is waiting to go home in a tornado warning. Well, we have a couple things. we're going to talk about. But first, I want to thank, again, the staff, because the last couple weekends, when I've gone to restaurants, outdoors, of course, I heard so many compliments. And this also goes to the council, too, because you allowed us to do this. But so many compliments and thanks from the restaurants and bars on the assistance we gave them, whether it was the tables and the barricades or paving, or not paving, but grading and striping that east lot. They were so thankful. And I told them I really had nothing to do with it. So thank you all, because A, the staff did all the work, and B, you aldermen let us get away with doing these things and making it real easy. And they were so appreciative. I heard from several, and I know Lynn told us this last time, and I think I mentioned it. Several of them said, we go to several different towns. We have businesses in several different towns, and they're like, nobody did this. So thank you so much. It made me look good. And I know that's hard to do, but thank you. I appreciate that. And also, gym staff and the public works staff in particular, although everything turned out great last week with the and I don't want to call them protests, because the people weren't protesting. I think a protest when somebody says, I'm not going to shop in here, I'm not going to eat at McDonald's because they allow smoking, or they don't allow smoking. Does everyone remember that from the early 90s? Jim laughs. I don't know if Jackie, were you around in the early 90s, Jackie, or not? No, I mean around here in Yorkville. Deuce, you remember that. Eric remembers that, don't you? Yeah, so anyway, I think of those as protests. These people were assembling peacefully. But in other towns, there was some, you know, there was some looting and riots going on. And our staff was prepared. Unfortunately, nothing happened. But, you know, they put together the plan real quickly. And there was a lot of late nights from staff, and particularly on the police side and the chief. So thank you. Now to the fun stuff. Guess what next month is? July. And what do we love to celebrate? The 4th of July. So, barring the governor changes his mind, we're still going to do fireworks on the 4th of July. And the parade, this is my thought, and I'm open for feedback. Right now, we're not sure. We've got some different ideas. And Bart, if you want to chip in at any time, please do. But, and Tim, also, we've got some different ideas in the parade, but we haven't really made a final recommendation yet, because there's some uncertainty. But we're definitely going to do the fireworks on the 4th. So, Bart or Tim, either one of you want to offer anything else, or did that sum it up okay?
Yeah, I can summarize it. We're looking at all options. We want to make sure that something is provided that the community can celebrate. And whether it's, maybe a car-only parade along our traditional route, or maybe we bring the parade to the neighborhoods. We've mapped out a couple different, middle and south options where we might run multiple parades in a day and say, whoever wants to show up in a car can go drive by as many people's houses as possible. We're trying to look at both of those options. So a lot of that is going to deal with state regulations on the matter, but also just volunteering. So, we had an existing pool of people who usually help with the 4th of July parade, and a lot of them have said, they can't do it because they're afraid for their health, or they have other plans that weekend that don't involve being outside among people. So we're trying to study all those options.
Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Thank you for not canceling the fireworks. I have nothing else to look forward to.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're welcome. So now we're on to the budget update, and I'm going to turn over to Bart or Rob. Oh, Mr. Funkhauser, did you have something?
Of course I do.
Damn it. Go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Okay, before I go on to the next item, I will make sure I didn't cut anyone else off. Anyone else have any comments on that? Okay, now we're on to the budget update, and I don't know if this will be Bart or Rob or a combination, but I'm going to take the lead on this one and say, I don't know about next year's budget, but Rob has given us an update on the 2020 last year's budget that just ended, I guess a month and a half ago, and we are estimating approximately a $500,000 surplus at the end of the year for the general fund. So that's good. That's very good. Everyone did an excellent job. Staff, city council, you all did a great job. The department heads, amazing job. I got to get the hands down and everything. Absolutely outstanding. Amazing. Wonderful. Anyway, so the 21 budget, I'm going to turn it over to Bart. Thank you. Questions or comments? Mr. Koch?
Yeah, Bart, when would you get a note for the online revenue?
Do you want to leave?
Oh, okay. I'm asking.
So the use tax contains a fair amount of online revenue. So the fact that use tax has been flat or increasing, and the IML is kind of saying that it's going to continue to increase, and so actuals will follow that too, that was a pretty good indicator that people are shopping.
Other questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Thanks for the update, Bart. Rob, you got off easy this time. So, one last thing under Mayor's report. I just want to give an update. Christy and Pete informed me today that the townhome project behind the Kendall Marketplace is, they're getting close to moving dirt, so they are proceeding, and holy cow, what is that noise? Is that the wind?
It's Chris's microphone. Chris had muted you for the time being.
Oh, can you mute him for longer than the time being?
<There you go.
Okay, so anyway, the townhomes, they're moving along pretty well. And then Pete did not have final numbers, but he did say there's still a new construction going on for new homes. So it's exciting that, you know, even though things, you know, the last couple months have been dicey, there's still excitement and there's still some building going on. I think that's good for our community. Okay, that's all I had under Mayor's report. Are there any additional items of business? No. Are there any citizen comments in the chambers? None? Okay, and that includes no questions from the press? Okay, nice. Are there any citizen comments out in Zoom land? No. We will not do executive session, and if you want to argue with me, you can do it after the meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn? There's a second by Funkhauser. All in favor, signify by yes. Yes, please. Thank you. Okay, motion carries. Thank you all very much. I appreciate your input. Good discussion tonight.
Good night. There's a tornado at my house, so I may be staying.